reading for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 2. He said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. "I must go on boasting, though there is nothing to be gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. On behalf of this man, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though, if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So, to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where does this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. And he called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I see it's raining today. Well, it's not literally raining, at least not right now. I think it did rain overnight. There was some water there in my yard, I know that. But it might have rained overnight, and I think there might be rain coming later, but that's not the rain I'm talking about. Martin Luther once said that the gospel is like a passing rain shower. The gospel showers down upon the earth, down in one place, watering it, producing what needs to happen there for growth and faith and life. But he also says that it moves on, like a passing rain shower, to the next place. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is making it rain in his hometown. In his hometown of Nazareth, he brought the shower with him, so much so that they had to ask, where does this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? And then later, in the second part of our gospel, the shower went with the disciples as he sends them out two by two to heal and to cast demons, and as the text says, to proclaim that the people should repent. So now, by the way, Luke reports this same event in Luke chapter 9, and he says the disciples went out and preached the gospel. So in Mark, they preach repentance, and in Luke, they preach the gospel. No, this is not one of those supposed contradictions in the Bible, because repentance and forgiveness belong together. Always. It's the same message that we hear throughout Scripture from Christ's own mouth. We hear the same message. Repent and believe the gospel. Turn away from your sin, turn towards Christ, and be saved. Receive his forgiveness. But this morning, our gospel reading has a clear warning. The gospel can be rejected. Jesus gets rejected in his own hometown. They took offense at him, it says. And then Jesus warns the disciples as they go out proclaiming that people should repent, and the gospel, right, that they too may very well get rejected. Their message, and therefore the one who sends them, might get rejected. Verse 11, he says, if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's on them. You see, the gospel can be rejected. Jesus' mighty works can be rejected. Repentance can be rejected. And the forgiveness of sins won by Christ crucified for us can be rejected. We see this, don't we? We see this. We see this in the world around us. Of course we do. We see this in our Old Testament reading, Ezekiel chapter 2. Those stubborn and impudent Israelites, these nation of rebels who reject God and his word. We also see it as Lutherans. We're reminded of the Reformation, where during the time of Martin Luther, God made it rain. Pure gospel rained down upon the earth. They rejected, though. They rejected God's clear word. They rejected true repentance, that the Christian's life is one of continual repentance and faith, clinging to Christ alone. They rejected the gospel, that Christ's sacrifice really did earn all salvation. It's an all-atoning sacrifice, completely and totally sufficient for man's salvation. They rejected the forgiveness of sins, that is a free gift, earned by Christ crucified and not by man. They rejected the truth that there is absolutely no way that we can earn our salvation and make ourselves worthy enough for God. Jesus made it rain, using people, yes, like Martin Luther and others, but he made it rain, and it was pouring pure gospel. But the gospel could be and was rejected. And where it was rejected, the dust was shaken off. That was on them. As the gospel rain shower then moved on to the next place and to the next place. Now, fast forward a few hundred years as we celebrate the 4th of July weekend here, right? As we celebrate that and our nation celebrates that, the gospel rain shower eventually makes its way to America in various ways, but one of those ways, and according to our tradition, God made it rain in America through a group of Lutheran Saxons who fled to Germany, fled Saxony in the 1800s. At the time, the government, the powers that be there, were forcing the Lutheran church to compromise to unite with the Reformed Church, the Calvinist Church. It was called the Prussian Union. Wouldn't it be nice if there was just one Protestant church, right? But at what cost? Would you be willing to deny the sacraments? Christ's very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins? That baptism actually regenerates you and creates faith in you and saves you? How much of God's word would have to be rejected? Well, not willing to reject any of God's word, close to 800 Lutherans eventually made their way to St. Louis, beginning and leading to what we know of today as the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. God, using the likes of men like C.F.W. Walther, the first president of the LCMS, Jesus made it rain here in America. Both repentance and forgiveness, the gospel being proclaimed according to God's word. And the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper were administered correctly according to God's command and Christ's institution. Dear Saints of Zion, Lutheran Church in Hiawatha, Iowa, you are the fruit of that gospel downpour. We stand on the shoulders of giants, people, men and women who came before us, people, faithful men and women, people who refused to reject even the smallest letter of God's word, people unwilling to compromise for the sake of fitting in with the world around them, with the popular culture, or whatever else was going on in America at that time. People who recognize the gospel rain shower for what it truly is, a pure gift of God. God's grace being showered and poured down upon us unworthy sinners. Sinners who are in desperate need of Christ's all-atoning sacrifice, the pure gospel, and the free gifts of repentance, forgiveness, and life and salvation that come with the gospel. This morning, Jesus is once again making it rain. The law is proclaimed to you so that you may recognize your sins, grieve over them, turn away from them, repent of them, and turn to Christ, who forgives you all of your sins. The gospel then is also proclaimed to you, the full, sweet, pure gospel. Not just a little bit, but a torrential downpour of forgiveness is offered to you here this morning. All of it, in fact. All that Christ has done for you, all of the forgiveness won for you on the cross, is yours. But sadly, a gift can be rejected. The gospel can be rejected. Not everyone wants to soak up the rain shower of the gospel. Not everyone wants to soak up Christ's forgiveness. And unfortunately, when we look around God's house, among the household of believers here, we see that there are some members of the household of God, some members of the family, who are not here this morning. I'm not talking about the fact that it's the 4th of July weekend and people are busy. I get that. I'm talking about those who have not been here for quite some time and haven't been hearing the gospel proclaimed to them. But also, if we're honest, there's probably many of us here sitting here this morning who this weekend would rather be somewhere else. Is it possible, can it be, that the gospel rain shower has been pouring down upon us so long and so much that we can get complacent and take it for granted? Remember, the gospel can be rejected. Yeah, Pastor, I've heard all that before. I've heard all this stuff before. Repentance, forgiveness. It's like the same old sermon week after week. I'm a sinner. Jesus forgives me. He died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. That's great. I kind of had a busy day yesterday. I had a late night last night. It's getting a bit warm in here. And this communion every Sunday stuff, right, that takes more time out of my day. So what time is lunch? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, never take for granted what tremendous blessings you have in and through Jesus Christ. What a tremendous blessing it is to hear the pure gospel of Christ for you, of Christ crucified and risen to save you. What a gift it is to have the Lord's Supper each and every week, where Christ's very body and blood is put into your mouth for the forgiveness of sins. What a tremendous blessing that is. So all of that Christ has done for you is present here. God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Jesus lived a perfect life, fulfilling the law's demands for you. He suffered and died as a perfect, all-atoning, innocent sacrifice for you. He rose from the dead to give you eternal life. And this is present here for you, all of it, for you. Even if you've heard it all before, there's nothing mundane or boring about it. By God's grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, God opens our eyes so that we can see that it really is raining, maybe not outside, but in here. The gospel is here. It is raining in here. The gifts are here. The forgiveness, life, and salvation are here for you. Like a kid on Christmas morning, we should be overflowing with joy and thanks and praise and excitement about what is given to us, the precious treasures of heaven delivered to us each and every Sunday. May God grant it that we never reject a single letter of his word, that we, like those faithful men and women, those faithful saints before us, never compromise on the gospel, never take it for granted or become complacent, but that we would recognize that rain shower for what it truly is. It is a beautiful blessing, a treasure that we are so fortunate to be able to hear time and time again. Because unfortunately, not everyone has that privilege. Not everyone gets to hear the pure gospel preached this morning. May God grant it that we rejoice in the gospel. Thank and praise God for the rain shower, that it has not moved on from us. It is still raining. He is still making it rain here this morning. The gospel is being proclaimed here this morning, right here at Zion in Hiawatha, Iowa. It really is raining today. Not just a little bit. It's a torrential downpour of God's love and mercy and forgiveness and grace for you. All of it. All that Christ has done for you is yours today. In the name of Jesus, amen.